Right, you done made it to the middle of the week. That's right, it's Wednesday, y'all. It's Wednesday. It's what? Hump day. That's right, it's hump day, man. I hope everybody's having a wonderful day because you're breathing and you're listening to me, Mr. Talk, here on Blog Talk Radio, and you're listening to Let's Talk. That's the name of the show, y'all, and that's what we're gonna do. What's going on? How y'all doing out there, man? I hope everybody's having a beautiful day. A beautiful day. Man, I tell you, you know, there's so much going on in the world right now, man. I mean, not even just the world, just in the United States, in your little state, in your little cities and towns, in your own homes, and wow, this is so much going on, and it's like there's just not enough time in the day to really, really figure everything out. But as some say, let those live who wants to live their ways, and let it be. Whatever shall be, surah, k-surah, surah, and deja vu, and boo-boo-boo, and doo-doo-doo, and all that other stuff, too. Because you know what? It's all going to be good. Eventually, when it comes out in the wash, it's going to be all right, child. It's going to be all right. And it's going to be so good. You're going to stand up and say, hallelujah. Amen. Because you know what? It's all going to come out in the wash. My. All right. Enough of that. All right. So, anyway, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. And, man, I'm telling you, it's a great day to be here. Yeah. I know. Some of y'all, I know y'all missing a little bit, but it's okay. We got you. So, today, man, I tell you, we got some topics we gonna run at you here. Let's see. We're going to talk about this ruling from the trademark department regarding the Washington Redskins. And of course, you know, my favorite person to mess with lately has been the former Vice President of the United States, Dick Cheney. And you know what? Dick done opened his mouth again. Yeah, Dick done opened his mouth again and decided to go on and put some things in his mouth. And we're going to have to show him that we're going to have to break it out. You'll work it out. You know, cause, no, Dick, you're not telling the whole truth. But anyway. And then, of course, we're going to discuss a little thing called generation and the gap and communication gap between, you know, the generations over time. And let's see what else we have. We have just the midweek wrap. That's basically what it's going to be. You know, we're going to start off with those, and where we go from that, nobody knows. But I can guarantee you what, we're going to have some fun getting there. That's for sure. Okay, what's a conversation without a little fun? What I mean, really? I mean, what is it? You know? So it's okay. We're going to get there, and we're going to have our fun along the way. So it's all in the cards. Yes, it is. It's all in the cards. And let's see, what else do we have going on today? I think that's it for right now, because I don't know. We got so much. You know, sometimes that there's so many things going through your mind and so many things working at one time. You have to ever had to the point to where your mind is just overwhelmed and you just have to slow your mind down just a bit so you can get everything in the right perspective. Yeah, I know. I go through that all the time. Sometimes I say my mouth isn't keeping up with my brains for sure. But you know what? It's going to be okay. We're going to make this thing happen today, y'all. Yes, we are. We're going to have some things. And the song of the day, man, is basically the way I'm feeling right now. It's a lot of people having parties out there, y'all. And we're going to have to have some discussion about that. Yeah, we are. But other than that, everybody's breathing. Hope everybody is in good health. And, hey, we ready to have a great show. I know I am. Now, if you want to be a part of the show live, you know, if you want to come on the air and voice your opinion about any topic that we may be discussing at the time, just give us a call, man. It's simple. Give us a call, 347-838-8622. You can email me at ericglesstalk@gmail.com. Or you can join us in our chat room where the conversation is never dull. Never dull. And you can get there by logging into www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And log in. Just playing, and you'll be a guest in the chat room. Now, as a guest, the only thing you can see is the comments that's being placed in the chat room. You have no other you will have no other ability than just to watch what's being commented on and said. However, if you log in using your social media site, whatever that may be, Facebook, social cam, whatever you use, heck, I don't know, there's so many of them out there now, and log in with your username, then once you enter the chat room, you'll be able to comment also, as well as respond to everybody else's remarks that's being placed in the chat room. And you make your experience a whole lot better. Now, like I say, you can call in, 347-838-8622. And if you care to speak live on the air, just press the number 1, and we'll be more than happy to let you in and hear your comments or responses. And we welcome everyone. We have no problem whatsoever hearing what the listener, the caller has to say, because we love it. We love it. We love it. We love it. We want to hear it. Woohoo! We want to hear it. However, please, when you do call in, be mindful that we are adults and we do conduct ourselves that way on this show, for the most part. Which means, you know, there is no the words that... Okay, just act as a dang on adult. You know, we have adult conversations, okay? There's no words, no B words, no H words, no N words, no G words, no whatever you think may be a bad word. Yeah, don't say it, okay? Just don't say it. If you think it's going to hurt somebody's feeling, don't say it. You know, you should be able to properly articulate what you are thinking in an adult manner with clarity. I know, with clarity. Heck, I have trouble doing that. the understanding is there. Please, y'all, when you call in at the door, and respect everyone that's on the line. Okay, we understand that everyone will not agree with what's being said. You know, that is what makes us human, us individuals. But in the same breath, do not personally attack anyone because you do not agree with them. Okay. Because that shows a very, how can I say this? That just shows the lack of intelligence or your vocabulary to where you just have to go on the attack, personally attack someone. And we don't want that to happen, okay? All right. All right, so, you know, I think I've said it all I got to say right now. And, you know, it's all good in the neighborhood, man. So it's time for me to step aside on this mic a little bit and this young man come in because I know he's ready. You know, he's here with me. He's here with me every day. Every day, every day. And that's always a good thing. And I'm talking about my co-host, Mr. Hakeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio. What's going on, man? How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing excellent. I feel great, man. I feel smoother than the Lionel Richie song right now.
Okay. Depending on which one you're talking about.
Okay, I mean Lionel Richie in his prime writing hit records. That Lionel Richie.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you now.
Maybe I should have just said Smokey. I should have just went with Smokey. That's one of my favorites anyway. Smokey and Stevie, two of my faves. So.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. You know, it took me a while to get on Smokey. I like some of Smokey things. And, you know, Smokey, all right. Stevie, man, you know.
Smokey wrote so many hits for so many people, too. So I guess that's why I like
him. Yeah, you have a very, very good point. A very good point. He has. And you know what? That's what a lot of the old, I'm going to call them old timers, but, you know, a lot of the tenured artists have done. You know, they do a lot of writing and producing for others. You know, until they feel the itch to go ahead and you know, get put another one out there, and they make it happen. You know, those are the type of artists that, you know, like Patti LaBelle, even Aretha, Dionne Warwick don't sing too much anymore on the R&B side, but you have Gladys Knight. You know, those artists, you know, they have lasted over decades. You know, unlike a lot of the artists now, you know, they do one or two albums and, you know, they're not albums anymore. Let me correct that. CDs. And, you know, they gone, you know, for whatever reason. But those artists that just ride through time, and that's a great thing. That is always a great thing. You know, so. That is it. All right, y'all. Y'all know what? I have an artist for you today. And this is one of the artists that started out as a backup singer for some of the greats. I mean, this artist here, he arranged a lot of the background music and a lot of the lyrics of the songs for greats like Dion and Patti. And, oh, man. And one time he had his own group. But then one day he stepped out in front of the mic, and oh my goodness, the man just set the place on fire. I know y'all talking about who the heck is he talking about now? No, it's not Marvin Gaye. No, no, no. No, it's not Teddy Pendergrass. No, 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 no. Who else could y'all think it would be? It don't really matter, does it? No, it doesn't really matter. Because, you know what? I'm bringing them to you anyway, and I hope y'all enjoy the selection that I have chosen. Because here it is, man. Without further ado, Mr. Luther Vandross and Bad Boy having a party. Enjoy, y'all. Oh, yeah.
I'm still a little chilly.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about right there, bad boy having a party. The late great Mr. Luther Vandross himself, y'all. That's what I'm talking about, man. I'm telling you. I love it when a plan comes together. And that is for sure. So anyway, man, what's going on out there? How y'all doing? Once again, welcome to Let's Go Blog Talk Radio. I am Mr. Talk with my sidekick. Well, he ain't no sidekick, but my co-host, Mr. Cloud Nation Radio in the house also. And then, you know, we got the callers on the line. We got the individuals in the chat room. So y'all know what, man, it's about time to make some things happen. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But of course, before we go, you know, we got to give them shout outs, man. We got to get those shout outs. Okay. Y'all ready for the shout outs? All right. Had to calm myself down. I be partying, man. I be partying sometimes. Y'all just, well, when I get my YouTube show going, y'all gonna be seeing I be rocking out. Anyway, so let's give a shout out to Amente the writer in the chat room. Then we got Deep H2O, Divine Design. We got guest 758-774-800-801-812. And of course on the switchboards, we got them, man. We got Mrs. Thought. We got a Yankee, and then we got a 111 and another 111, and of course we have my side, my co-host Cloud Nation Radio, and then there's me, Mr. Talk in the house, and that's everybody that's here right now. For those that's listening on other devices, then you just, I don't see you, you know, in the show, on the show right now. Thank you for listening today. We do appreciate you. And for those that will be listening later on the archive, thank you for listening also. We'd like to see you live a couple of times if that's possible. But if not, I understand. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your support anyway, because at least you're listening. All right. Anyway. It's time, y'all. It's time to ride on out. It's time to get into the first thing I want to talk about today. And oh, my goodness. All right. Here's, man. Oh, man, I tell you, the Washington Redskins, man, they're in the news again. The U.S. Patent Office has canceled the Washington Redskins trademark of the team logo, Redskins. It sounds like this battle has been going on off and on for a while, and you know what? It has. It has, man, I'm telling you. In a 2-1 ruling. Oh, after a campaign to change the name has gained momentum over the past year, the team doesn't immediately lose trademark protection and is allowed to retain it during an appeal. Now, here's the thing. The Native American Nation, all right, has said that the Redskin, the actual name Redskin, is a disparaging, scandalous, contemptuous, and disreputable name. Okay, and they are basing their suit, their case, on a law that prohibits registered names from being all those words I just read out to you that I'm not going to. Now, it's interesting because in 1996, I think it is. Let me get my notes. Let me get 1999, there was actually another ruling suit for the same thing, You know, it was a similar ruling issued in 1999. And, of course, it was overturned in 2003. Why was it overturned? Because the courts decided plaintiffs were too old and shouldn't have filed the complaint in 1967 after the team registered the Redskins nickname in 1957. So now, what has happened? So we've got a younger group of Native Americans that are pushing for the Redskins to change their name. Now, why is this so important? Why don't the Redskins just go ahead and change the name and be done with it? You know, people say, well, go on, just find another name. Well, now, and this is why it's not as easy as people would think. Number one, the Washington Redskins are a member of the National Football League, better known as the NFL. And within the NFL, they have profit-sharing regulations. And anyway, all 32 teams share revenues from each other's sales. Now, here's where it really gets interesting, because if the Redskins lose their trademark, okay, if they just lose it and they cannot in any kind of way stop people from copyrighting or even just using their trademark, they lose money. If the Redskins lose money, the NFL lose. Well, the other teams in the league lose money. If the other teams in the NFL lose money, then the NFL itself loses money. So, they'll make it seem like it's just the Redskins and Daniel Snyder who won't change the name because it's the Redskins, it's been the Redskins forever, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, it's more to it than that. Because you have a ladder that is involved here, and if they lose their trademark, man, it's a rippling effect would be felt throughout the NFL, and not only the NFL. You have to think about the sponsors that have things that's around the Washington D.C. area, Maryland, Baltimore. Well, Baltimore is in Maryland, but Virginia, that's related to that Redskins logo. So this should be interesting. Now, of course, right now they do not have to change anything. Well, they don't have to change it, but they still have the trademark for the Redskins right now logo until the appeal is heard. Now, if it's anything like the first one, 1999 to 2003, that was 4 years. So, 4 years, maybe even longer now, 5 years maybe, and they still can collect the money. And no one can still copyright that logo, And then you have to think about the jersey sales, Robert Griffin III, Arapahoe, and a couple other individuals. So, it's a whole lot of stuff involved in this. It's a whole lot. But the other interesting thing about this is, and y'all know I had to go here, this is yet yet another group of people who have gotten together and decided to, we're going to make this happen. We're going to fight this. I don't care. We're going to fight this. And apparently they're making some headway. Wow. That kind of go back to what we was talking about yesterday, wasn't it? At the close of the show. We need to come together. Until we come together, we won't make anything happen. Well, dang it. Here's another example of some people actually doing it. And this is the younger generation. This case, this suit was not filed by any of the older generation. It was the younger generation. Imagine that. Imagine that. If by chance, the appeal is denied, it'd be interesting to see what really happens. Because, as I said, there are so many repercussions that will take place from this one little ruling right here. And, H2O. Then you have the other teams out there with names like the Blackhawks, the Indians, the Braves. Warhawks. So I think a lot of individuals are going to be really paying attention to this one case right here, because the repercussions could be enormous. So you just have to sit. We're going to sit back and see what goes on with this, because it's going to be a very interesting thing. Now, look, I'm going to be honest. Ever since I've been following, the NFL, the Redskins have been the Redskins. Take the University of Florida State University, the Seminoles. That's not bad. But, they got their war chant, and they got, Chief Osceola on the horse come in before the game, throw the arrow down. Is that considered a bad thing? So I think it's going to really it's going to be a really interesting case to follow. of course, it probably gets swept under the rug with a lot of the other stuff going on, because I don't think it really has the support of as many people as they would make it to seem. I just think that at this time they were forced, the Trade Commission, the Patent Office was pushed into a corner, and they had to do something. And this probably was something that would appease these individuals at this time. We will see, though. We will see. I think it is kind of a major blow that they actually have this on point. You know, have this recorded now that they may lose the trademark. And if you lose the trademark, man, you losing money. You losing money. Why even keep the name? So I'm sure precautions are being taken and the lawyers are going over, and there'll be many appeals and finagling going on. Who knows? They may come to a compromise. You know, Daniel Snyder, he don't mind. He'll write a big check. He don't care. To Daniel Snyder, money conquers all. Money solves all problems. So, you know, I don't know, man. That's just the way I'm looking at it right now. But, yeah, we'll keep we'll check this thing out and see where we're going with that. All right. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Well, I already know those that live in the area, Baltimore and Washington, D.C. and all that, y'all already know what's going on. But for those of us on the other side of the world, the country, who doesn't follow that too much, yeah, we need to be aware of that too, because it may just end up rolling on down this way and affecting us in some kind of way. I don't know, man. I don't root for them dang on Redskins anyway, so it don't matter to me. I mean, somebody mad right there. But it's okay. It's okay, y'all. It's okay. You root for who you root for, right?
Right.
All right. So that's that one. That's that one. But you know what I really wanted to get into today, and y'all going, boy, I'm telling you. Tricky Dick. Tricky Dick done had so many heart attacks. I don't think he even has a regular heart anymore. No, we're not talking about Richard Nixon. But let me go on. Let me go on. Tricky Dick. If you ever notice, lately, anytime something goes on in that place called Iraq, Tricky Dick got something to say. You know, Tricky Dick, yeah, Richard Nixon was the original Tricky Dick, all right? Yeah, Richard Nixon was the original Tricky Dick. I got that, y'all, all right? But I'm calling Dick Cheney Tricky Dick, too, because Tricky Dick, he's good, man. I mean, this cat is outstanding, you know? When things start going wrong in that country, he sure know how to lay it on thick. Blame everybody. He will blame everyone except for who the blame needs to be put on. Tricky Dick is going to come out and say it, man. President Obama is everything he's done is very wrong at the expense of so many. And that watch ISIS take territory once secured by American blood is final proof. He says Iraq is at risk of falling to a radical Islamic terror group. But you know what, man? You know what he forgot to tell y'all? That during the Iraqi war, Halliburton, y'all know who that is, right? Received no bid contracts up to $7 billion. To do our work in Iraq, rebuild Iraq. And let's not forget Kellogg, Brown, and Root, who also awarded a sole source contract by the Pentagon. That means they didn't have to bid for anything either to restore and operate Iraqi oil fields. Now, you say, well, we know this. Well, what you don't know is, you know, Tricky Dick had a lot to do with all this. Now, I know y'all like, well, okay, we done been here before. Here we go. Well, maybe we have and maybe we haven't. But here's the thing. Tricky Dick, in 1995, Tricky Dick went on a show, and he said, his words, that we should not be involved in, we should not get involved in Iraq. Why? Because, number one, it would be a quagmire, it would last forever, and we wouldn't have any exit route, exit plans. Now, that's what Mr. Dick Cheney said. However, you fast forward to 5 days after 9/11, okay? Now, number one, Mr. Dick Cheney goes on a show, another talk show, and he's rattling on about this and about that. And everything he said has Afghanistan in it. There is no mention of Iraq. No mention whatsoever. The terrorists came from Afghanistan. That's where we are pointing attention to, and we are going to stop this. Hold up. We started out in Iraq, but wait a minute. We start off Afghanistan. How the heck did we get to Iraq? Why? Well, why did we go into Iraq? After this man has said that it wouldn't be no reason for us to go there. But hold up, wait a minute. I'm in office and we gonna do it. Now I'm in office and I got companies that deal with this kind of stuff. Let's change it a little bit. Let's go on and start a war with these people. We don't like Saddam no more anyway. Why? Because just because we don't like him, he won't do what we say he gonna do. Well, but don't think Dick Cheney is by himself, because Dick Cheney wasn't by himself. See, a lot of us have been misled that we think Dick Cheney and Bush was in this all by themselves. Contrary. Oh, my goodness, man. Y'all just don't know. There's so many people that's caught up in this thing. And that's why Dick Cheney's always got his mouth open as soon as something goes wrong over there. Because we're messing with his money, him and his cronies' money. That's what we're doing. We're messing with his money. We're messing with his kickbacks, political paybacks, his cronyism, his self-interest and ferocious ideology that underpins the entire reconstruction scheme. We are messing with that man money over there, and that's why he wants to blame everybody else. And right now, he is scrambling because all that hard work our military has gone over there and secured. Man, like I said yesterday, we hadn't secured anything. Some people laid back and just waited. They just waited. Oh, he also has stated that we should have never pulled out. We should have left a contingency team for intelligence. What did he say? Intelligence or training? Oh, wait a minute. We already did that. Yet, we sending more over there, right? Oh, my goodness. And hold on, wait a minute. Where is this thing? Him and his daughter. And I just think it's hilarious, man, because this is just ridiculous. And it's like every time something goes on, Dick Cheney is opening his mouth. You know, and listen to what he had to say about this. On a trip to the Middle East this spring, we heard a constant refrain in capitals from the Persian Gulf to Israel. Can you please explain what your president is doing? Why is he walking away? Why is he blindly sacrificing the hard-fought gains you secured in Iraq? Why is he abandoning your friends? Why is he doing deals with your enemies? In one Arab capital, a senior official pulled out a map of Syria and Iraq, drawing an arc with his finger from Raqqa province in northern Syria to Anbar province in western Iraq. He said, they will control this territory. Our Al-Qaeda is building safe havens and training camps here. Don't the Americans care? Man, but I got to go back to something else, man. I do. Why is he so blatantly sacrificing the hard-fought gains you, Y-O-U, secured in Iraq? It didn't say America. It said you. Why is he abandoning your, Y-O-U-R, friends? Why is he doing deals with your, Y-O-U-R, enemies? Wow. This tricky dick, man. This tricky dick. I'm telling you, man. That tricky dick is just, oh, my goodness. And he, you know, and every time something pops up, he's in the news. Now, at least George W. has enough sense to sit back and be quiet. Oh, my bad. He did that while he was in office, didn't he? That is so wrong, but so true. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Oh, man. Why is this cat so, well, I guess I told you, intent on us having some type of military presence over there to where we will be at war forever? You know? And, you know, I was going to play some clips for y'all, but I said, no, they don't want to hear all the clips. You know, they don't want to hear all the clips because the clips are just like, you know, just more proof. I'm sure y'all have heard them before. But, you know, Dick Cheney is something else. You know, it's like he wants to be president, but knows nobody's going to vote for his crooked behind. But back to what I have said earlier. You know, as I said, Dick Cheney wasn't in this by himself, man. He wasn't. There are a whole list of names. Paul Wolfowitz, Louis Libby, Douglas J. Feith, Richard Pearl, Michael Joyce, James Woozy, Lieutenant General Jay Gardner. Those are some of his cohorts. And you know what? All of them are a part of this thing called PNAC. PNAC. Most of them are founding members of PNAC. Oh, what is that? A neoconservative think tank. The Project for the New American Century, which advocated regime change in Iraq even before George W. Bush took office. Y'all hear that, right? Now, this is Paul Wolfowitz, a key member of the ultra-right-wing Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, JINSA, a think tank that puts Israel and its security at the heart of U.S. foreign policy. Did y'all hear what I had to say then? Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Man, I tell you, but y'all just don't know, man. Did y'all get that? Now, if you don't believe me, I'll let you read it for yourself. Or just go to Information Clearinghouse, man, and look up Carving Up the New Iraq. Man, the information is there. I'll put the link in the chat room also, but it's there. And I just think it's just, you know, it's just amazing. It's amazing how this cat just runs off at the mouth when his hand is just as dirty as the terrorist that... And the terrorists that's in Iraq right now taking stuff over. If anybody can be brought up on a war crime, it's himself. Himself. Now, before I go ahead and open up the lines, let me tell you about this Benghazi thing. You have caught this guy, right? Now, CNN interviewed this dude a year ago. About a year ago, CNN interviewed this dude. And you mean to tell me it took you a whole nother year to pick him up? But wait. Here's the good part. Instead of putting him on a plane and flying him over here, because the trial will be held here in the United States. Wait a minute. I thought they said that about all the Al-Qaeda people out there on Guantanamo Bay. Oh, but Oh, well, that just didn't happen, right? So we're going to bring this guy over here that was one of the masterminds of the Benghazi attacks, and we're going to bring him over here on the boat. Why are we bringing him? You know how long it takes for him to get here on the ship? A couple of days, right? What is that telling you? Are you of the same way that he's being briefed and what's going to happen and how they're going to take care of him later on once this is played out? I mean, doesn't that just make you just look at you and just laugh? My goodness, man. They bring him back on a warship, y'all. A warship. Don't we have enough secure military planes that put him on, chain him down, and fly him on back? But we going to bring him over here on a warship. Man, I'm telling you, boy, the more you look at this thing, the more you just shake your head, because it's just, man, it's just something else. But we're not supposed to realize that all this nonsense is going on. We're supposed to fall for whatever we're being told by the mainstream media. And, you know, every now and then they'll throw a nugget out there to us to make them think they really objective and, you know, on the side of the people. Just so later on they can go back and pat these cats on the back and say, good job, man. We really fooled them, didn't we? Heck no, you didn't fool anybody but your dang old self. Because here we're going to tell the truth. We're going to tell you what's really going on. And I know you, my listeners, y'all intelligent enough to discern the difference between the bull crap they're telling you and what's really going on. I know you are. That's why I love you. That's why I love you. And Chicky Dick, you know, him and his daughter, yeah, they can keep going. They can keep saying what they want to. But we're going to keep digging it. We're going to keep bringing it up. You know, I suggest what he do is go and sit down somewhere, you know, with a portable, what them things is, what you put on your heart and go clear. Yeah, he need to sit down with one of them by his side and shut the heck up. You know, follow George W. rule. At least George W. is leading in something right now, keeping his mouth shut because he know he jacked things up. But just coming out and wanting to blame everybody else for something you did is a bunch of bull crap, Dickie. That's right. Dickie jacked things up, but Dickie wanted everybody else to think somebody else did because they made the right decision. They went over there, and we went over there and cleaned the places up. The Arcata was gone. Taliban was gone. Everybody was happy. And we had a perfect democratic society being built over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. And President Obama brought his troops home and just ruined everything. So now my companies can't make no money. And don't get me wrong, y'all. Y'all know I've been hard on the Obama administration as well. I have, because some of the things they have done didn't make any sense either. But in this instance, I can't help it, man. I got to say, Dick Cheney is full of crap. He is. He is. And, you know, oh, my goodness. It just makes you want to go, because it's ridiculous, man. And all those individuals that helped, you know, this was a planning. This is something that was planned a long time ago. And when him and George W. got in office, man, I tell you, they implemented it to the T. They had a lot of people fooled. They did. Now, their so-called chickens are coming home to roost, and they want to throw the blanket over there and blame everybody else, but who the blame needs to go on? Imagine that. All right, y'all. I'm through running off at the mouth because I know y'all y'all tired of listening to me right now. So what I'm going to do before I bring my callers in, because I see they lined up and I bet they just chomping at the bit to get some of this. Let me bring my co-host Akeem in and see what he has to say about any of this great, great stuff we have going on. Akeem, where you at, my man? What you got to add to me?
Hey, man, I'm
Oh, man, nothing yet. I want to wait and hear all the awesome viewpoints that's here to come, soon to come, I mean.
All right. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. We can do that. We can do that. So let me go on and open them up. Open them up. Open them up. Let's see. We got, let's see, 111 right here. Who do I have here? Say hello. That's
hello.
Like a joke.
Hello.
Oh, it's Michael.
This
hello,
is me.
Mike.
What's up?
How
wow,
you doing?
Mr. Dark,
hey,
I haven't
doing,
been
Mike?
Here a while. What's up with you? I haven't been here a while. I haven't spoken on your show for a minute.
Yeah, well, we tried to get you on yesterday, but you disappeared on me. But hold on.
Nah, I was.
You went to sleep, did you?
No, I was busy.
Oh, okay.
But I tried to have my last words, but you was, you know, gone.
Oh, okay. All right, so hold on. Let me bring this other individual in. Hello, 111. Welcome to the show. Who do I have here?
Oh, this is Mr. Beasley.
Well, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Beasley?
I'm always good. I came and...
Great.
I'm going to go on mute. I got a call, but I want to participate.
Okay, no problem.
All right.
And
all right.
Let's bring the last individual in, Mr. Pianki. Mr. Pianki, what's going on, man?
Boy, it's kind of warm today, Eric. Like 94 degrees here.
How you doing, Pianki?
I'm doing pretty good. But, you know, Eric, the problem is the American public, they're just dumb. You know, these to permit this kind of shenanigans to go on and on and on.
Hmm.
This Benghazi guy is nothing more than another scapegoat for Hillary to take pressure off of her. Because I thought when she was doing a report, when she was being drilled, I think she made mention that the people that done what they did was just some of the thugs that was walking around decided to burn a place down. So now all of a sudden they have put a face to some plot implementations and some scheme, and now they come up with this guy. And a person who was sitting on the beach lavishing in the sun, enjoying himself, she don't sound like he was trying to hide and get away to me.
Exactly. You know, and that's what I was saying. You know, how does CNN interview this guy almost a year ago, but yet, you know, nobody, you know, all of a sudden, nobody can know who, I mean, he's the guy? Really? But see, and you know, and it's so funny, but if you remember when it first came out, what was the cause supposed to be? A video that was done here in the United States. Remember that?
Yeah, and another point. Many of the so-called, quote-unquote, Libyan rebels, the ones that was advancing onto Benghazi in the east and on further into Tripoli, was at one time also fighting against the United States and other NATO forces in Iraq.
Hmm. Yep. So, you know, man, I'm telling you, it's... Man, I tell you. But hold on, Pianki. Let me get Michael in, because I know Michael want to get something in here. Mr. Michael, where you at?
Right here. You talked about so many things. I mean, what is the topic about? Benghazi? Can we talk about some of the other things, the red skin topic, or we have to stay on topic, focus-oriented?
What you want to talk about?
Well, I just wanted to bring that red skin thing up, and it proves my point, because I know business. It shows that social, public relations and social issues can impact your business. And you cannot separate business from government. People can do certain things. Now, I agree with the black community. You were saying that the Indians, they're going and they're protesting this, and that's another community. But us as black people, we can get some changes, but the problem is that we pick and choose. Now, listen, even though George Zimmerman did not go to jail, you cannot say that it was not for the black media or the black people rallying, putting pressure for him to get locked up. If it was no media, we would never have had a trial, even though. So we can pick and choose. But with the Redskins thing, you know, that group of citizens, those American Indians, they have a right. because that's their social, ethnic group, and they have a concern about that. But it just proves my point. If you have a business, you have to watch out for the social impact that your business have on the community. And it's all about public relations. Whether they win or lose, it shows how it's connected. Business and government will always be connected. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate that. So you have nothing to add about the Iraq situation and Dick Cheney or Benghazi or nothing else like that?
Well, as far as the Benghazi, I don't know if the CIA is working with helping, Hillary Clinton on this election or not. You know, they can try to just make up false flags or things of that nature. But they say they have videotapes. Obama, they have live footage and some evidence that they have that the American people don't know about. Now, whether this is a real suspect or not, it's funny because there were multiple people that were in Benghazi that night, and they're just picking one. They just followed that one guy. So, it could be a false flag. It could be something to quiet people up. But, that's all the thoughts I have about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't think this, I'm asking the whole crew right now. You don't think this is a so-called smoke screen or a false flag to take everybody's attention off of, number one, the passing of this LGBT discrimination law, executive order, and two, the possible involvement of military action in Iraq, Could this be a
sponsor? See, I haven't been abreast with the news. You're saying Obama put an executive order for gays and lesbians?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Okay.
I'm back.
Will.
Wow.
Welcome.
Well, Mr. Talk, you covered...
I wouldn't think that's a false flag, though, Mr. Talk. Executive order.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on mute?
No, you're not. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute. I hope you guys weren't hearing my business, but oh well. I got to be more careful. You covered the Dick Cheney thing pretty well. Nobody takes him seriously. I read about this. He made this announcement and this speech with his daughter Liz. And I don't know if his daughter is the lesbian or if the other daughter is the lesbian, but she lost. She was running for Senate in Wyoming. And I think he lives in Wyoming, takes residence in Wyoming, because that's a low population state, or a rural state mostly, and someone like him can pump some money and win an election. I think he was a representative. He's a New World Order globalist from the start. And has been. He's been involved in the. He goes all the way back to the Reagan administration. You call him Tricky Dick. I call him Dirty Dick, because Dick is dirty. He's dirty. There is original Tricky Dick. The comments in the AP article that I read last night. Everybody's bashing him. This is the guy that went into Iraq on the premise of weapons of mass destruction. When there were no weapons of mass destruction, they were found. I'm surprised they didn't plant some. But he doesn't have any credibility, and that was reflected in the way that his daughter didn't do very well in the election.
Mm-hmm.
But name recognition is a big thing. I wouldn't take him too seriously because no one else does.
Right.
There's very few people that take this guy seriously. He's lost all credibility, and he's doing just what you're saying. He's stirring it up. Look, when the Clinton administration was in power, he was against going into Iraq. I didn't know that he had said that. When he gets in power and he's the vice president, all of a sudden they're making that move because he's that group that you said that he's a part of.
Yeah,
that is what that. In other words, that's the military-industrial complex.
That's it.
Groups like that, and there's probably a few of them, they're involved in war for profit. They don't give a shit about America. They claim that they do. They don't care. They don't give a crap about troops. They care about turning a buck. And you hit it all in the head. You even covered Kellogg Brown and Root, which is a subsidiary of Halliburton, whose name got so trashed that they changed their name to KBR.
That's it. You got it.
They changed their name. I think even Halliburton, well, Blackheart changed their name, or they dissolved. But they're still mercenaries there. These people are about a profit, and he's doing whatever he can to throw stones at this administration, and he's looking to position his daughter and his family to do what he did, to be in, to have political power, and have his other foot in the realm of making money off of war.
Oh boy. Thank you,
Mr. This is the same dude when the economy was all screwed up and I was trying to do business, and it was hard as hell after September 11th. People were scared. People didn't want to spend a dime, you know? It was difficult.
Yep.
And the only thing that kept things going or moving or picked things up a bit was the housing bubble, is that people were able to borrow for their homes. And I was too. But this is the same guy that the only thing that he said, this is the only thing wrong with this economy, is people need to get off the damn soup lines and get to work. This is how out of touch he is. This dude is dangerous. This dude is bad. And the world would be a better place when one of those pacemakers fail.
I like that. That was a good one.
The world would be a better place. But no one takes him seriously, at least the people that were reading this AP article. And they were going at him hard with all types of facts. Wolfowitz it now works for the IMF or the World Bank. Paul Bremer, the one who was found in the documentary that Michael Moore made about 9/11, the one that was licking his comb and combing his hair like a dog, like a cat, you know, you know, to hold his hair down. He's moved up to some United States or one of the subsidiaries of the United States. The United Nations. So these people are all connected, and they're about global world control. And you know, Cheney was the CEO of Halliburton. What does that tell you?
And believe it or not, he was still receiving some pay from Halliburton while he was in office. Of course, he said he would give to charity, but we know better than that. But
anyway, enough charity to offset his tax gains.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, because believe it or not, there are some idiots. Well, I'm not going to call them idiots. I'm sorry. There are some voters and people out there that actually are believing what he's saying. You know, in fact, hold on for a minute. Let me find it, because I think I got something on here. Ooh, what's that?
some of them are my clients.
Oh, really?
I did a big order with a guy today. And he comes with the craziest right-wing stuff in the world. And I used to kind of soft-shoe it and say, I don't know and be sure. I got to do business. So I just go ahead and just said, you know something? I used to disagree with you a bit. Now I see you're 100% right. And all of a sudden, he writes bigger checks. So we all do what we got to do in order to get by. I told him that he brought me to the light.
He brought you to the
light. Wow. Yeah, he brought me to the light. Bless his heart.
Wow. And you know what? Here's a response that someone wrote to one of his rants, and it says, Cheney avoids the fact there was no relationship between Hassan and al-Qaeda in 2003 Iraq. This has been documented by the Pentagon and every committee or think tank who has investigated millions of documents seized upon our invasion. Al-Qaeda came to Iraq due to our invasion. There was no weapons of mass destruction, a trumped-up lie based upon the claims of Kerbal, claims that the German intelligence and the British secret intelligence did not believe. Cheney was a very vocal that was very vocal that the USA should be supplying sophisticated weapons to the Syrian insurgents. These very weapons would now be used against the fragmenting Iraq armed military.
What does that tell you? That tells you that the U.S. government should buy more arms from some private contractor that he represents. He's one of their representatives to push this stuff through. Okay?
Right.
So buy more arms, give them to the Syrians, because they don't care about what happens. Okay? They want conflict and trouble and war because that's profitable. He's doing his job, and that doesn't discount that this administration has dropped the ball, because what's happening in Iraq shouldn't be happening. Not after all the sacrifice and lives and expenditures that this country made to try to secure Iraq, whether it was right or wrong, this shouldn't be happening. But it
well,
is.
You know, they.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
I was just going to say, fresh out of the blueprint was George Stigler's economic theory of regulation in 1960, where he argued that instead of regulation being imposed on industries and genuine democratic response to the desires of the oppressed and the abused consumers, that firms, you know, often actually would seek government regulation in an effort pretty much to gain monopoly or cartel powers that they could not obtain by the market methods. And then the decades after World War One, fresh out of the Woodrow Wilson blueprint, he had those centralized powers in Washington during the war, and he exercised regulatory command and control over the economy. He also drew many corporate executives into the government, which we see over and over again in administrations, to operate the bureaus he created. And many of them found the preferred issuing and enforcing orders over attempting to motivate and manage voluntary or contractual employees who could quit at will. So we see a lot of these proxy wars, so to speak, and these different methods of imperialism to build the empire in order to basically feed the beast, as some would call it, but to help out these different corporations. And they use mechanisms like those PAC donations, for example, to fund some of these things.
You got to realize they just stopped insider trading from Congress, what, just 2 years ago? Countries like Russia still has it, and it's just the way it is. I mean, poor people are not going to, you know, be the president of the United States. I mean, you can't separate the money from the politics, you know, like I say again, from the corporations, from government. They're always intertwined. And us as people just have to be aware, like you guys are saying, and just be addressed. And when you can speak your voice, voting, or try to have your political move, when you're saying all this, You just gotta voice your opinion when you can. So
it's never been more corporate control than it is now, and it's only gonna get worse. It's only gonna get worse. There's no stopping this. There's no stopping this. When the Supreme Court rules that contributing money is speech, and it's protected by the First Amendment, and Now these PACs and these super PACs can raise unlimited amounts of money from any sources for contributions and campaign donations and advertising. Money's going to be an even bigger factor, and it's already a huge factor. It's going to be an even bigger factor.
But this with Trump's money. Like I said before, if someone pays $50 billion to be president and he comes out and says 47% of the country, you know, welfare and food stamps, people might not vote for him. If you come out and you say stupid stuff, you know, you can advertise all you want, because that money is to try to control people's minds. But the conscience of the people can, you know, spit on that money. So there has to be a balance. We have to try to find out if it's going to be a balance. And I agree. Like I say, once I have to
do
it done, you never. It's always intertwined. government and corporations.
So do you think that there wasn't moneyed interest behind Obama?
Of course. That's how it works. Of course. It's always going to be money interest. That's, I mean, what's who doesn't have money interest in this world? All of us on this phone have some type of money interest. See, I look at a government as an individual and the conscience of that government. Because you got to realize that even over, like I said, Russia is a corrupt government. They have insider trading. And it's illegal over here. We don't do it. They just recently stopped Congress from doing it. So I agree.
How do they have that insider trading in Russia?
Excuse me?
How do they have insider trading in Russia?
Because the government officials...
Russia doesn't even have any financial markets in Russia.
No, hold on. Listen to me. You asking me a question.
Russia doesn't even have financial markets like the West.
No, listen to me. When I say that...
How do they have insider trading?
Okay. Because they're getting information to the politicians on them stock exchange. The politician who writes the bills and the laws should not have information to the markets. That's what they just stopped Congress from doing it. Hold on, listen, they just stopped Congress. They just stopped our Congress from doing it just 2 years ago. Google it. And they made a mistake on the bill. Because but I'm letting you know other
but they don't have a stock exchange in Russia.
Well, how does Russia trade their money globally? It's still an exchange. Factually, bro, factually, what are you talking about? Don't try to warm me up. I know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of corrupt governments. The only thing I'm saying, after saying all of that, what the poor people, you that's not in the 1%, what are you going to do to try to control it, to try to control the corruption? What can you do? What is the conscience? What is going to be the conscience of the people? What is the show for? Just to talk about it and say we can't change it? What are the solutions?
There's no solution.
It has to be. You saying all of this and saying let them go? No. We have spending power. Some of us, yes, we have voting power. Because that money is trying to change your mind. So, are you conscious or you're not? That's why I'm just saying you have to try to voice your opinion in this somehow. You just can't let people just do anything in this world to us.
Well,
some forces are larger than you.
Well, as I said before, I always said, and just like Mr. Talk was talking about the Redskins, social and public relations will always be attached to a business. It can bring a business down socially. The conscience of the people. Look at Donald Sterling. Look at they going to the courts for the Redskins. Factually, they're battling over trademarks. Government will always be intertwined with business. I can't say it enough.
How do you bring the Koch brothers down?
How you bring the Koch brothers down? Well, if they come on safe,
how do you bring down?
Power.
Listen to me.
We bring them down like Donald Sterling. Listen, most CEOs, most of them, regular CEOs, they're not political. They're not going to voice their political views because they know it may affect their business. No, I'm saying they may do it with their money. For instance, Bank of America donated to Romney, right? A lot of us bank with America. Of course, a business can have
donated
to companies.
Donated to Obama, too, I'm sure.
Exactly, but more to Romney. Okay, all right, exactly. But
how do you bring how do you bring the Koch brothers down?
You individually, you look at the list what Koch brothers produce, and you don't buy and spend from them. You personally, you can do it personally, and times that by millions. If you know all this information, what I'm saying is people sit on these airways and say all these problems, and they state it. You have to say, having said that, what do we do? And I'm saying you can look at the list, and with anything the Koch brothers produce and manufacture, you don't spend on it. How about that?
if you have a real serious problem. Collectively, we can bring it down. Socially. It's social
conscious,
bro.
You understand?
Anybody know that business is about public relations? Bottom line, that means the people do have a say.
Well, one thing I can tell you, you don't want to be getting rid of your guns.
And why is that, P. Yankee?
Because ultimately...
Because it's getting worse.
That would be the equalizer.
What about the rise of the pipeline politics? Because it sounds like that is befitting in this particular occasion, such as, Syria and the end of port for, people like the Shiite gas pipeline and the Shiite, I think it is, which... begins in Iran and ends at the Mediterranean seaport in Syria. I know it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was designed to terminate at a what they call a Shiite-friendly nation. So you have things like, what is it, Qatar, something like that, with a Q.
There's only one nation that's controlled by the Shiites, and that's Iran.
Iran will protect their pipelines,
and the majority of Muslims are Sunni.
No, I don't know about all that.
Know what
man.
I'm talking about? The majority of Muslims are Sunni, and I actually even know the difference between Shiites and Sunnis. Would you guys like to know?
Well, since go for it. Tell us what it is.
Simply put, Shiites believe that the imam, or the guy that the one that's head of the mosque, that he should be a direct blood descendant of Muhammad. Where Sunnis believe that it should be the most qualified or the most capable person. And it really came into conflict, I think, after one of the descendants, Ali, who was a descendant of Muhammad, after he was no longer in charge of the mosque, when the decision would be made of who would be in charge of Muslims or who would be the imam. And this is before it was much bigger. And the conflict was so big. But that's what the basic difference is that Shiites believe that the imam, or who's in charge of the mosque, should be a direct descendant of Muhammad, a blood descendant, where Sunnis believe, and there may be other differences, but that's the main pivotal point. They've been fighting, and they've been fighting each other for close to 1,300 years over this.
Wow. And you know what? I can believe that. And yeah, I can believe that. But I'm going to go back to something my co-host was saying earlier. And you know what, Hakeem, when you think about pipelines, what do pipelines usually carry a long distance, over long distances?
Oil.
All right.
Oil. Like OPEC.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you got your answer. You know, who controls the oil? Who controls the world? I guess a lot of people feel it. But, see, all of this goes back to one particular thing we say a lot of times on this show, and that is it's all a banker's war. It's only a banker's war. That's what it is.
But you gotta better explain it than that, because no nation is going to say, we're not going to sell you oil. Now, of course, we did have a boycott during 1979. But now it's the selling of oil to India and China. Who will it be? If you take control of an Iraqi oil facility, whose tanker will be filled up? And whose tanker flying under the OPEC flag will arrive in a Chinese port and sell them the oil? That's where it comes down to.
Well,
Does Cheney Group have tankers? Do Pat Robertson have tankers? Do the Bushes have tankers? Are they borrowing tankers from Exxon Mobil and Total and Shell?
Okay. if you have shares in those companies, you don't need the tanker because you're collecting the money.
No,
anyway.
The shares don't have nothing to do with it.
That's for the investor. What he's saying is this. I mean, in essence, what Pianchi's saying is this, is that there's a rapid industrialization that's going on in countries that weren't industrial, and they need oil. That's the lifeblood for industrialization. And you've got countries like China and India, which have huge populations. And so now their thirst for oil is picked up, and there's a finite amount of it. Even though there's a bunch of it's produced, just about all of it gets used. So, you know, that's what he's saying. And that's where some of the push is.
And you know, another thing too, Beasley, being the fact that the United States has started fracking, it has got to a level of production where it doesn't have to depend on oil from the Mideast. It still has to depend on from Nigeria, per se. But it's getting to the point where it doesn't have to depend on oil from the Mideast. So why? What interest do United States have that is so pertaining that they have to put military, spend all this money and so on? If they want to have access to
oil. I can answer that.
No, we get less than 10% of our oil. We get most of our oil from the United States. We're almost energy independent. We get less than 10% of our oil from the Middle East.
What it is is the United States military acts as what's called a Praetorian Guard. In Rome, they had a Praetorian Guard that acted on behalf of the moneyed interests, and that's what the United States military does. It acts as a Praetorian Guard to protect the interests of these multinational corporations. These multinational corporations are Exxon, Shell, and all of the other oil companies. These companies have no allegiance to the United States. They do business everywhere, even though if they're American companies, and that's why it doesn't make sense sometimes. And you have politicians. Listen to what I'm saying.
Okay.
And you have politicians that get in power that represent the interests of these multinational corporations and they will use America's might and power that we all pay for, that, you know, Mr. Talkish, you know, spent most of his adult life participating in and risking his life for the interest of these multinational corporations. So it's not about the United States. The United States military is used as a Praetorian Guard, as a guard that's protecting the interests of the multinational corporations. And you have people like Dick Cheney and the others that run this psych out bullshit game on the people in order for the people to call for this type of stuff. Some of us can see through it. It takes some reading and some thinking.
It takes a long time. Like these generals, when they retire, they end up where? They end up going to the Pentagon, then they end up sitting on the board of industrial military corporations.
There you go.
Well, first of all, every country through ancient of time factually is going to need a military. Citizens need to be protected because other countries will try to control. That's factual. So the military has to exist. Couldn't survive
what happened
in this
when the military
world.
Turns
you,
against
you,
the citizens?
Listen to me. Yes, I did. Just because I listened to me. Beasley. Sit down, youngster. Sit
you
down,
call,
sir.
You can't
just
call
because,
me a youngster.
Just listen to me. Just because
explain,
I made
Mike,
that
you
statement.
You don't have to do like that.
Just don't. Just
what
because
say.
I made. Listen, no, listen. Just because I made that statement does not mean I did not listen to you. You didn't let me finish. I didn't interrupt you. Sit down, please, Beasley. Now, it's two sides to that coin also. We were talking about the religion. Beasley brought up the religion. Countries such as Saudi Arabia don't believe in having a military when they first found that oil in the 1950s, late 40s, not 1940s. They want it, and Beasley is right, to defend their countries. We do it all the time. I mean, that's foreign policy. These herbs that build and fight amongst each other. And when we go in there, guess what? The people, the herbs, like Beasley is saying, fight amongst each other.
And of course the Americans are going to say, hold up, we're going to pick a side. It's about war and conflict. It is what it is. Most of the time, conflict starts over there. Look at the treaties. They say when another Muslim country attacks another Muslim country, we don't have weapons. America, can you please help us? Of course it's going to be oil. Okay? So it's all about this. I mean, it's life. But you cannot say that these Muslims are totally innocent, like America is totally forcing themselves. No, they are other people asking us to come in. Look at Russia. They're jockeying for position. I mean, it's the power of the world. That's what I want. I mean, I wanted to say that they do invite us also.
All right. Everybody there? All right. Well, thank you all for
that.
Yeah,
he just got quiet.
Yeah. All right, Offtex. Thank you for that, man, because you brought us a very good point. But here is what I want to ask. You know, if that's the case, why aren't we in some of the places that's full of minerals and oil? And you know what comes to mind? When we went to what that place is, Africa? You know, Black Hawk Down. Why did we go back up in there? You know what I mean? Why did we go back?
That's a strategic place. That's the entrance. That's the entrance to the Persian Gulf. That's why we're there. And even though there may not be military bases there, and they probably tried to establish that, but they caught some hell because them skinny people were getting busy.
Mr. Talk, it's going to be a regular duty station.
But you better believe those are battleships. They're battleships close by. That Gulf is very important. And the United States only goes to this area where there's something to protect. North Korea beats their chest all the time, and saber rattles and everything. And it's almost a joke. They send them some rice and some oatmeal, and they chill them out because there's nothing in North Korea. There's nothing in North Korea. But look what happened in the Sudan. The area in the southern Sudan, they found out has oil reserves. They created a separate country. There's interest over there. There's something to protect. That's what it's all about.
Let me ask
you know another
question.
Thing, too, on Sudan. You have to ask yourself, how did these rebels that are fighting against the Sudan government all of a sudden come about? Well, it's the same way that the rebels in Syria come about. It's the same way that the rebels in Libya come about. It's the same way that you have opposition groups come up against the government all the time and try to overthrow it or come into a position where, well, you have your side of the country and we have our side of the country. It's the same Dick Cheney's and the rest of his clan that goes about stirring up all this mayhem under the pretense that, well, if you become a government, we will give you $4 billion a year in aid, so on and so on and so on, like they do to Israel and like they do to the Egypt.
And in turn, this aid, you are beholden to us. As far as Muslims inviting the United States, that monarchy in Saudi Arabia, which isn't that popular, okay, that monarchy invited to protect their interests, and in turn they supply oil to these oil companies, and they're considered a friend when they're
right.
truly not a friend. The people that were responsible, the Wahhabians, where Osama bin Laden was, they're from Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden is Saudi Arabian.
But see, and as the U.S. become more independent, real quick, as the U.S. become more independent, they don't need Saudi Arabia. Then what do you have? Iran has a big gripe with Saudi Arabia, and Iran is going to whoop some ass in Saudi Arabia.
Right, exactly.
They're enemies.
Well, look, it's like this. You know, and we could give examples all day of who's enemy and okay, hold on, Mike. You can go when I get finished, okay? But the bottom line comes down to the U.S. foreign policy basically is based on big businesses. That's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, to put it easily, that's what it is. It's just big business.
Well, see,
But go see, me personally, before the business, I keep on saying it. See, y'all keep on talking about money. Before the money, you have to talk about the human experience, the social. Listen, if the United States was not over this, listen to me. He's cutting me off. Listen to my point. I'm going to make a factual point. Beasley keeps on bringing up the religion. If it wasn't no money, they would still be fighting over religious ideology. The religion evolved since Muhammad. He broke up the Sunnis against the other Muslims, right? And their philosophy, right? If United States was not even over there, they would still be going through war and conflict. So I agree. Sometimes the CIA can go in and stir up stuff, conflict in certain situations, but you cannot deny Muslims, like you just said, Pionki, once we leave, another Muslim country going to attack Saudi Arabia. Those Muslims always have conflict on how they deal with each other. It's still crazy. Even if the United States wasn't in there. I agree with money, but you have to talk about how those Muslims' conflict with their religious conflict involves, and of course it's going to have money involved.
But did you hear what we said about 15 minutes
ago? The religious
ago.
Leaders have control of the money, too. You can't deny
Dude,
that.
Wait a minute. But
in
the
Muslim land
said,
around, you cannot deny that the religion's ideology controls the money, too. You can't separate.
Well, listen what we said about 15, 20 minutes ago. We said that it's about who sells the oil. Another point.
Right.
In Saudi Arabia, it's not religion, it's culture. The Quran is the constitution of Saudi Arabia, and in many of those countries, and you can't name them all, you know, here blacks, you have, for instance, I was talking to some this morning, you have black Muslims, they are United States citizens, they take Islam as a religion. Their culture is still American culture. Over there, Islam is the culture. The religion plays a big part of it, but Islam is the culture. If you ever go over there and stay with them. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Pionki, you never can separate the religion from the culture. Religion, you're going to have cultural ways, factually. Christians right now, look at their culture. Look at the traditions that Christians do. Come on, you never can separate Christians.
What religion comes out of culture, don't it?
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying, Pionki. You can't separate.
That's,
so they're one and the same.
That's why I say
that's
that the one.
I'm
yeah.
done talking.
Well, you know, in some of those countries, they got both Christianity and Islam. But the culture's still the same.
Yep, that's it. And you know what, though? Michael Pianki did have a very valid point there. And, I mean, it was simple. You know, just because you say you're a Muslim here in the United States doesn't mean you're living actual culture. Because over there, the culture is the way of life. That's not the way it is here in the United States. You know, they have their own ideology, which is different, believe it or not.
You mean to tell me, Mr. Talk, hold on, Mr. Talk. Now, come on now. You mean to tell me, I go with Christians. You are Christian. You have a way of life. I guarantee you, and it's a part of your culture, what you do. You cannot tell me that you going to meet a Muslim that lives in America, and he's not going to have no Muslim culture about him, even though he's an American. Come on, you can't say that.
Michael, let me give you a prime example, and you're going to read it for yourself. Malcolm X, he was taught one thing as far as Islam here in the United States, but when he ran actually overseas where they live the Muslim life culture on a daily basis, the way they is supposed to, it is a different, and he came back with a different ideology about what was supposed to be going on over here as far as what was happening over there.
But listen, watch this fact, Mr. Talk. Hold on, Mr. Talk. When he went over for Muslim, he saw that there were different types of Muslims. They weren't all black. He said, hold up, different type of people. But I guarantee you, if he was a Muslim, he didn't eat pork. He prayed. That was a part of his culture. The way he eat, the way he dress. I'm guarantee you, his ring that he has, his culture is still Muslim. You can tell. He has Muslim in you. You cannot separate his religion from his culture.
Your culture here is American. You can, here in America, you can marry anybody you want to or anything now, really, right?
Right.
You can't do that over there.
And you've got, and you think you've got, women here, you've got people women. That practice their religion. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
you
know, I'm sorry.
Got,
go ahead.
No, you've got Jews that eat bacon. You've got people that are strict to their religion, and you've got people that are what do they say, Republicans in name only? They could be Ginos. They could be Jews in name only. You know, so it's Pianki's right.
But you know what? Times is changing. You know what? If gays and lesbians can define merge, someone can have a polygamy merge. Hold on. No. I'm just saying, hold up. Okay, I agree with y'all, but times are changing. If gays and they redefine merge and in a particular state define that merge, if a state wants to pass polygamy or Muslim stuff and allow Muslims to do that, we should talk about that because gays
allow
are doing
Muslims
it.
To do
times
what?
Are changing it. No, I'm just saying, to make it legally. If they want to believe in polygamy, by their religious wise, they can do it. But I'm letting you know, you cannot tell a Muslim that you cannot separate and say that a American Muslim don't have some type of culture that a Muslim has. Don't have no type
you know
of
that,
Muslim culture in his daily life. Come on.
Life in America and life in Saudi Arabia are two different things.
How they eat.
In Saudi Arabia, if you get caught stealing, they may cut your hands off. They behead people.
And they daughters don't marry black
Muslims,
men.
Some American Muslims, I went to school with one. She was fully covered. She's wearing her culture, her religion.
Well, you have that in
American
Christian countries too,
citizen.
Mike.
But I'm talking about here in Nebraska. You cannot separate the religion from the culture.
Yeah, and then there's
because
Muslims,
when you adopt
the
religion,
don't abide
you adopt
by
some
that.
Of their culture.
You know they have honor killings. They have honor killings if their daughter married a black man.
I didn't know that. Where is that?
Oh, they had one kill their daughter here in St. Louis for dating a black man years ago.
Yeah, well, there's
matter of fact,
some
not too far.
There.
Well, it's just it goes. Well, you have the same. I always tell you, you got the same thing in the Bible. The Bible tells you who not to marry, and so on and so on. So that's in those people's culture, which eventually turns into a religion. Religion is nothing more than the deification of an ethnic group's culture. Originally, when it started off, but now, hell, you got 520 different denominations of Christianity, and
right.
I don't know much about Islam. Y'all know more about that than I do.
I
so
thought
things,
you might. Are you Christian,
Bianchi?
No,
right, hold on. All right, I think we gonna go on here and go.
Oh, it's a religion, right?
I call Eric God. Oh, he got a gun.
Don't call me no God.
You sound like Miles Tay Tongue now.
Anyway, Hakeem, where you at, man? Because I know you want to talk about generations and gaps and communication and things of that nature.
that was Beasley's idea.
Oh. Yeah, that was Beasley's idea, wasn't
nah,
it?
No, well, we need some more of the younger folks because I'm fascinated by this because being a man of a certain age, it wasn't that long ago that I was the young dude. Now all of a sudden, it just seems like I blink my eyes and I'm considered the old dude, and that's a trip. Because some of my opinions and views of things about change, but it's a trip. It's a real trip. And do you understand what I'm talking about, Mr. Talk?
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about.
I've spent the majority of my time coming up around people that were older than me. Now, as you get a bit older, you get into your 40s. You know, your parents passed, your grandparents are gone. Who do you go to for guidance?
I did too, and they all just about dead.
Right. and you might be a bit older than us, so you understand what I'm talking about. So then, when you have someone younger, maybe 15, 20 years younger. And they're trying to explain to you the ways of the world. It's a joke to me. It's a joke. You may be able to add some insight, or you may be able to have a valid opinion. But to try to explain the ways of the world to me, somebody who reads and thinks and who always has, it's almost comedy. Seriously. Now, and you're an exception. You read, you think, and you're probably way more advanced than I was when I was your age. You're constant. I can tell you're constantly reading and thinking and applying principles and stuff. But most aren't like you, and they say things off the cuff, and they're so matter of fact, and then they think because you've got some years on them that you don't know squat, and it kills me. And I remember the older people when I would try to debate with them. That after a while they say, "Okay, all right, young man, you go ahead and you know." They don't indulge it too much. They go, "All right, young man, you go ahead," and they kind of a little smirk, a little smile on their face, like you'll learn. Ain't nothing I can tell you. And I guess I have to take that same position. Mike just called me a youngster. I know I got 10 years on him.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I was just going to say. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know what the important thing is on these conversations? It's not about who knows more about the other. It's about what you bring and contribute to the conversation. And people bring things that others don't have because you come from different experiences and different environments. And many times I see arguments persist because somebody thinks that they are being dissed or being checked.
Right.
But it's just because what you are saying is not true. And you know, at some point in time, when I started studying certain things, the material that I was studying was dead wrong. And it's still out there. And you would listen to a conversation, and you would hear somebody saying the exact thing, and you know exactly where they got it from. So you're just merely trying to say, no, that's not really right. You need to go back and check again. Mike,
you know,
Beasley, N2K, and others in the chat room contribute to the topic, and they're very good at doing so.
You know something? Particularly with the internet, you've got spoof fake sites out there that look official, okay, that might spit out some nonsense. I even quoted one on one conservative guy's show. And I thought, and I was like, wow, this is crazy, but here it must be true. Not only that, you have educated people, PhDs, that write books about their opinion of something or their version of it or what they think. And maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But it doesn't have to be true just because a PhD wrote it and it's in a book. And I find a lot of people buying into black supremacy. And Naj, who's probably one of the most well-spoken, and I don't know what we call him Naj. I forget what his screen name is or what his username is, but he's probably one of the most well-spoken, level-headed people that's on this entire platform. He was trying to make some points, and they shouted him down. They shouted him down, and it's sad. But you made a real good point, Pianki. There's stuff out there in books and on websites that's just BS, and it fulfills people's what they want to be right or what makes them feel better. You made a good point. You're on point today, Pianki. I haven't disagreed with you once. That's a switch.
Yeah, I wanted to say that the only thing I wanted to add is that you know, and I agree with a lot of stuff that was said, especially when you guys were talking about what you bring to the discussion and how so many misunderstandings can be formed in a discussion. I think, you know, when a lot of younger people, they get to, you know, maybe late 20s or early 30s or something like that, you know, they find themselves, many of them find themselves in a peculiar position, because on one side, you know, you're still a young buck, you know, you're still a young pup. But on the other side, to some of your peers that are, you know, younger than you, you know, you're a lot older. So some of them, they find themselves in a position where
they can't quite reach some of the youth, depending on the age of the youth, especially teenagers, because, you know, many of us, when we become teens, we know everything. And then you have, like, that area of when they deal with some of the elders that may be older than them, even if they can contribute something, I think that respect between elders and young adults can kind of get fuzzy at some times. And I think, like you guys were saying at first, when two people or three or however many are having a discussion, if one person feels at some point, like you said, disrespected, someone's checking them or something like that, and they feel misunderstood, I think that's how, you know, a lot of those disagreements arise.
You know, there's people out here that are insecure, too, that are insecure. And
that's true.
I'm sure, Akeem, you run circles around people your age because you read and you think and you understand better than most. So I'm sure you belong with people that are older or not necessarily older, but people with information and knowledge that are on your level. When you go to talk, when you talk with a lot of people your age, you probably said, like, why am I even in a conversation with these people? Don't you?
I'm not going to answer that.
Answer it. I already know it's true. That's why you're laughing. I already know that it's true. And I've also found, and I've learned from these platforms, which transcends into real life, if someone doesn't like you or doesn't respect you, they're going to disagree with just about whatever the hell you got to say, even if you told them that, you know, that water's wet.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I think, like you said, I can only, you know, I think, yeah, like you said, everybody's different. I think your upbringing and as a younger person, you know, some of the decisions you make earlier on can really determine, you know, like you guys were talking about, your attitude is a big part, because I can only speak for me, but I remember growing up at an early stage in my life, I recognized that people my age were good for, you know, I could play with everybody, but it was something about, you know, the discussions that were taking place with my family, that my elders, it seemed to be more intriguing, and it was more enlightening. So I would find myself sitting in the rooms listening to them, and it felt like they were, like, you know, as they say, preaching to the choir. It seemed like they were teaching me a lot of stuff, and they were just having regular discussions about a variety of different life issues. And any little question I may have had, it seemed like it was being answered in those discussions, as though they knew I was sitting there, so they wanted to, you know, tell me stuff without preaching to me, so to speak. And I know they weren't intending on doing that. It wasn't intentional or anything. But when you listen to some of the discussions, you know, growing up, some stuff makes sense. And then sometimes with your peers, you listen to stuff and you're like, I don't know about that. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know if I agree with that. Let me go to somebody else who's been on the earth a little longer and check that reference. So I think it's different. It depends on the person.
You know what? That you have a point there. It does depend on the person, and the majority of older people, they have lived experiences, and you know, you can learn something from them. However, there are those out there that have decided that they will not give up their youth. You know, they think they still can hang out in the clubs and chase the young girls just like the young guys can. And you have to be careful from those dudes, man, because, you know, they can give you some bad stuff and have you all jacked up just like they are. But before we go any further, I want everybody to know there's 10 minutes left in the show. And if you want to continue to hear the show live, get on the phone lines, 347-838-8622, because we'll be going in overtime for a little bit. And I don't want you to miss any more of the conversation. So if H2O would politely placed the link in the chat room for me. I would greatly appreciate it. If you're in the chat room, you can click on that, and that way you will not be kicked out of the chat room once we go into overtime. Okay? Well, but anyway, yeah, it's a good thing, you know, to have people you can go to and talk to, you know, when you are in time of need of, you know, guidance or what have you. Now, no, for me, it used to be my mom. I'm not going to fib. It used to be my mom. And since she's been gone these last years, you know, I've been struggling with that. You know, I'm of an age where, you know, I got a little bit of wisdom myself, but there's always room for more wisdom, if you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, you just have to kick in, man, and just be aware. You know, the best way to find out who has a lot of wisdom, just observe, you know. It's not, a lot of times it's not the ones that's out there rambling off at the mouth, running off at the mouth. Those that sit back and listening, you know, and I mean, just nod every now and then, and that's it. Yeah, that's it. All right, I'm through. Who's in a road or something? I hear air or something. Okay. Is anybody there? Can anybody hear me?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where the noise was coming from.
Okay.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you about the wisdom of that, you know, there's never a point where you learn too much. And you know, if we're always open to learning, you know, I think it's beneficial to continuously learn and continuously to be a constant learner, you know, because it's, you know, life, they say, is a constant growth process, and so there's always something to learn. I like finding out about, you know, learning stuff, especially when it comes to information and research. I love to find out if I have bad information or good information. Now, that's very good for me because, you know, if you spend years and years researching the wrong stuff or using the wrong references, then, you know, that's a lot of wasted research time. So that's very helpful to learn, okay, this is a better tool to use for your research for this particular matter.
Yeah, that is a good point. That is a very good point. You know, and they made a good point in the chat room. You know, a lot of shows with this type of format, which, you know, they are so wild that, you know, a lot of the so-called people with wisdom get talked over because it's basically just like this. If you know what you're talking about and you have the wisdom and the understanding, know you know what you're talking about, you know, and I'm the same way. A lot of times I won't say anything. I just let you run off at the mouth. You know, when you get finished, then okay, I'll say what I have to say. You can accept it or you know, go on and do it your way.
I have a hard time doing that.
Do you? Why? Why?
I don't know. Well, if I hear something that's wrong or if I hear some BS, I want to correct it right there. That's just me. Particularly when some folks are long-winded. And particularly if you have an adversarial relationship with someone, which can happen on these platforms. Listen to me. I'm telling you why. If you have an adversarial relationship with someone and they say something that you know is not true and you know the truth, it's fun to correct them and not as much fun for them. But the truth and what's right, besides opinion, should be what is what's most respected, if you can dig what I'm saying.
Yeah, I can dig what you're saying, all right.
You can dig what I'm saying. And Pianchi brought up a real good point, and I tell that to people all the time when they're trying to find a consensus among folks, especially looking for a consensus among black folks, that we all, and the people in general, but that we all, even within groups, That's why I have a. That's why I'm really against when people say white people are this and Asians are like this and black people are like this. It's because we all have different experiences. We come from different places. We have grew up in different environments. We've had different parents and different lives. And to expect people that have all of those differences, different parents, different everything, to expect them to come up with the same conclusion about things is ridiculous. It's absurd. But Pianki's wise enough to see that. He's doing a good job today.
He's doing a good job today.
Well, he said a number of things today that resonate with me that I know to be true. Oh. And you know I wouldn't have any problem, you know, disagreeing with them if I didn't think so.
Well, you do have a point there. You're right.
Right.
You're right. John, I do apologize. I do apologize for kind of a little amazement, but all of a sudden my Beast, you got to do something with that background noise, man.
That's not me.
Yeah,
that's
it
not
is.
Me.
Okay.
See?
He says not you, but it goes quiet. But anyway, I do apologize for sounding a little nasally, but my allergies has kicked in, so that's why y'all not hearing a lot of me talking a lot right now. you know, it's just like, okay. No, bye. Oh, but it sounds pretty bad. So what I'm doing, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Hakeem. Take it away for us, man.
No problem. I just sent a link in there for a team that established a business at 16. I wanted to know if there's anything worth reading in the news right now that anybody has come across that you can tell me about. Because I know there's a lot of doom and gloom right now.
Oh, there's all kinds of stuff out there. You know, you mentioned about the Redskins and that it might affect the fortunes of the NFL. And I never even considered that. But it also may affect the fortunes of the NFL on a positive note. If they were to rename their team and people were to grasp for it and buy a whole lot of merchandise. Redskins fans are pretty fanatical. My high school, or one of the high schools that I went to, their mascot name was the Apaches. And this year is the last graduating class of the Apaches, and they've been the Apaches for quite some time. But now they're going to be called the Red Hawks.
Oh, man, that's pretty interesting. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't really care. It's been so long ago, but it applies. It applies. I want to add something else that's kind of interesting. Compton High School, their mascot is called the Tar Babies.
Wow.
Yeah, you heard me right. The Tar Babies.
that's pretty sad.
Hold on. But now listen to this. This Compton High School has been a high school since 1898. Up until the 1960s, Compton was white. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Compton was white.
Yeah, I heard that.
Up until the 60s, Compton was white. Now the enrollment at Compton High School is about 75% to 80% Latino. And Tar Babies, apparently it comes from Compton College, whose name, and I just looked this up. I didn't know this. The name of the mascot for Compton College was the Turkic Tar something. And so Compton High School took the name the Tar Babies. Which was short of whatever tar word, and they became the Tar Babies. Now, of course, when I was in high school, we used to play Compton High. And Compton High was black, and Compton High was black, and I always thought it was crazy that they called them the Tar Babies. It seemed like it couldn't get any worse than that, but it has absolutely nothing to do with anything black, and they're still the Tar Babies.
Wow.
Do you remember there was a restaurant, used to be like a breakfast restaurant all over, and they were in the South, they were all over the place, called Sambo's?
No.
Well, all right. Well, maybe they weren't as big as what I thought, but there was a restaurant called Sambo's, and of course, you know the tale of Little Black Sambo, which is, you know, a racially insensitive poem and story about a little black Sambo. Well, the guy that owned Sambo's, or the head of it, who started it, his name was Sam Bonatelli. Some things you have to do a little research on, because they're really not intended to be a slight or a slur. There's plenty of slights and slurs out there, but it's not always what it looks like.
Well, I agree with that. However, in today's politically correct society, you know, a lot of times it's not what was meant for it to be. It's what people are looking at and perceiving it to be today. And that was makes you strange. But hold on, let me bring Ebony in. She has her hand up. Hello, Miss Ebony. How you doing today?
I'm good. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Okay. I just wanted to say that, you know, you were asking about what's in the news. In the news right now in the UK and I guess across the world is the World Cup. Are you guys watching the World Cup, the Football World Cup, or what you guys call soccer?
Football.
Not too. There are Americans that watch it, but I only watch it when I'm around foreigners.
Well, I'm following it a little bit. I am following it a little bit. But who asked what's in the news?
that was me.
But the World Cup is a huge event. What does she have to say about it? I'm interested to hear what she has
well,
to say.
Well, the USA beat Ghana recently, so they're doing well.
Yeah,
the Netherlands beat Australia 3-2. That was yesterday. So Spain are doing well, but Chile beat them 2-0. And tonight, very shortly, Cameroon are going to be playing Croatia. And tomorrow, we are waiting. England will be playing, what's the team that we're playing? Oh, it's got out of my head. But we're going to be playing tomorrow. So we lost our first match. And so, of course, we don't want to go home early. So tomorrow, the whole of the UK will be on standby to see one match. You know what? If you want to go shopping, you want to go steal something, shoot someone, it's the best time tomorrow. 8 o'clock in the UK. Everybody will be at their TVs, in pubs, all over the place, looking at. To watch to see what the result will be. And the scary thing is, you can do anything when the World Cup is on. You really could. There's nobody on the streets. Everybody will be in their houses or somewhere watching the match. But it's a big thing here. Absolutely a big thing.
That's outstanding. So, Ebony, how did your sister do in her 5K or 10K, whatever she was running?
Yeah, she managed to finish her 10K. She did well. There are no winners and losers when you do a 10K. But yes, she did well. She managed to finish, and I'm really proud of her because, you know, the running's in the family now. But yeah, she needs to get a little bit of a feeling of what it's like to.
Okay.
What happened?
I don't know. She just died. I mean, her sound just died. I don't know what happened. Hopefully she didn't mute herself. I know she was rolling. Oh, her call dropped. Oh, poor thing. Well, we know her sister did well. Her sister did well. That's a great thing. You know what, Cloud? I think we may talk a little prison, private prison tomorrow. I don't know yet. I got to look at the research to see what we got going on. You know? But y'all, I gotta get out of here. But man, I'm telling you, his allergies about to beat me down all of a sudden. So what we gonna do? All right, PNK, are you still there? PNK ran off to go and coach softball or baseball. I'm sorry. So we gonna let Beasley get his last words in. All right, Mr. Beasley, you there?
I said enough today.
Oh, okay.
I said enough today to give enough. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't like me, Mr. Talk. Can you imagine that?
No, I can't imagine that.
I can't imagine it either. At any rate.
Yeah, well, don't feel like a stranger. There's a lot out there don't like me either, but oh, well, it'll be okay.
I bet they don't like me more, but I can deal with it.
Yeah, so
I'll catch you later. I had a good day today. I'm figuring out the rest of the stuff out. I'll catch you tomorrow.
All right.
Good conversation as always.
All right. Thanks, Beasley. Have a good one. Oh, all right, Mr. Key. It's just me and you, man. What you got to say?
Oh man, it was yet another enjoyable show. I did want to bring this up before we close. I happened to listen to a little bit of archive from one of the BTR shows, and there was an interesting thing that was brought up in that particular discussion that made me think about it, but, you know, I hadn't thought about it in quite some time. And it was just the discussion between, you know, black women raising children and uh-huh. And so I don't have the word by word, you know, the verbatim, but I remember something about, you know, Obama being raised by his mother, who happens to be white. And so the response after that of the host, he said that, but that's great. He said, however, if you look at the majority of the presidents who have served in the White House, historically, most of them were raised by black women. That's where you get the term mammy and you know, in that portion. And it was kind of like, you know, aha moment, so to speak, because it was like, yeah, you know, I didn't think about that. I hadn't thought about that in a while, the fact that, you know, many of, you know, a lot of the wealthier people in the world, they typically have nannies, and they spend more time typically with their nannies than with their actual parents. And oftentimes in that service industry, they were typically black women. So I just thought that was kind of interesting, you know, that's all. Other than that, man, I enjoyed the discussions today. I enjoyed all the viewpoints, and look forward to talking again tomorrow. I wish everybody a happy and peaceful remainder of their day.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. We do. You know, I appreciate you 100%, man, because you help me out a lot, that you do. But you know what? That is an interesting that's interesting. You know, I never really thought about that either. Huh. Well, but you know what? If you go back in the day, I read somewhere. I forgot what book I was reading. Well, that was brought up, you know, to the point to where they say you raise a kid. You know, back in the day, they would raise the children from, you know, newborns all the way up to adulthood, and then all of a sudden, that same child turn around and call you out your name that you have raised. You know, so and to think about just that aspect of it, and to these people, these individuals becoming presidents of the United, you know, presidents, period, and not to mention like they never existed. It's just a slight, you know. But once again, that was a purpose that was purposely done, you know, because we weren't supposed to be able to think or write or raise, you know, anybody be that important. Let them tell it anyway. But we're not going to get into that. But you understand what I'm saying. I hope the rest of y'all kind of understand what I'm saying. So, you know, it's the little things like that, the little nuggets of information like that, that actually make you a little wiser and help you understand a little bit more of what actually has happened to make what has happened to shape today's society world. Does that make any sense? Did that make any sense? I hope it did. You know, it sounded
made
good
sense to me.
Yeah, it sounded good to me too. But yeah, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, man. I'm telling you, that'd be so interesting. Tomorrow, I think we will be talking a little bit about the prison system and suing. Prisons suing the states because they're not getting enough business. That may be actually be a good thing, you know, that they're not getting the business they once had, you know, used to. But we'll see. We have to do some thinking on that. But tomorrow, we'll be here tomorrow, though. That's for sure. I'm not going to tell a fib about that. But we'll be here tomorrow. Unless something is, you know, happens that's beyond my control, which I don't foresee that at the moment. I'm praising God that nothing happened. But anyway, now once again, I want to thank everybody for joining me. And those who still with me, Aminty, the writer, Ebony, Loving Light, girl, I ain't seen you in a while. I'm glad you're still here, though. Thank you. We got Knowledge, Pianki, I think he's gone. He just holding his phone at 1111. And, of course, by co-host. Hey, I thank y'all for sticking around. I know we did go far enough today. Hey, but I didn't foresee the allergies kicking in like they have. All right, y'all, it's been fun. I do appreciate it, man. You know, appreciate your support and all those listening on your different devices. Those that be listening in the archives, thank you. All right, well, we're going to get up out of here, man. Tomorrow is going to be fun. Remember, keep smiling, show appreciation, forgive with an open heart. But make sure you're forgiving yourself first. And the biggest and best thing, learn to laugh at yourself. If you can learn to laugh at yourself, man, everything else is just gravy. All right? For sure. All right. So tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific, 1 Mountain Time, we going to be here, man. I'm telling you. I guarantee it. All right. So without any further ado, we're going to take you out here with a little Luther Vandross, Bad Boys Having a Party. This has been Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, for my co-host, Hakeem, a.k.a. Cloud Nation Radio. Y'all have a good one, man. We out of here. Peace.
Cause it sure wants to get out of